Sure. Well, my name is Jason Gonzalez, and I'm a candidate for 22nd District State Representative. You're in the west part of southwest part of Chicago that surrounds Midway Airport.
And this, of course, is the district that has for a long time been represented by the House Speaker Michael Madigan. So why take the chance, run against a man who is thought of in many circles as the most powerful politician in the entire state?
Well, yeah, it's certainly a good question. It's kind of a big question, but, you know, in many ways, it's kind of irrelevant who Mr. Madigan is. You know, the important thing is that the needs of the community are being neglected, and our state is really deadlocked and going on a downward spiral. And, you know, I'm running because I have a vision for our district and a background in solving problems that really, you know, energizes me to be able to take on challenges in our state and be a representative of the district who's going to represent the district and also go to Springfield to solve problems rather than promote the status quo and drive us into a deeper mess, which I believe Mr. Madigan has done.
So how much do you believe that Madigan is responsible for where Illinois is at right now, and for better or for worse?
Well, let's look at, you know, sort of the historical trajectory, okay? Speaker Madigan has been speaker for, I believe it's 32 or 33 years now. He's been in the 22nd District State House seat for almost 45 years. We are involved now in probably the greatest financial catastrophe our state has ever seen. We are now, I believe, $113 billion in pension debt. I think Mr. Madigan owes the state and the people of Illinois an explanation for how we've gotten to the place where we're at today. I don't think any reasonable voter in Illinois can say and believe that Mr. Madigan doesn't have or didn't have a hand in creating the mess that we're in today, whether it's not overseeing the pension system correctly to ensure that the state workers' money was going into the right accounts, whether it was doling the money out to improper allocations, whether it was funding pet projects that should never have been funded. Mr. Madigan owes the state and the people an explanation for what has happened over the years to all of that money.
This past year, Michael Madigan has been giving public speeches, responding to the press more than he has in recent history. He's been asked some of those very questions, you know, how much responsibility do you take for things? And he says, I'm not going to shy away from it, but this has been, I am one man, can't pass laws by myself. There is an entire General Assembly and governors who signed a lot of these measures into law. What have your thoughts been in terms of his explanations? He still hasn't done enough?
Well, you know, explaining it is one thing, taking full responsibility and saying, look, you know, I realize I've been in office now for almost 45 years. I think it's time for someone else that may have a better way of, you know, getting our state back on track to take the reins is another. You know, sure, George Ryan, Jim Edgar, other governors, Jim Thompson, you know, were playing ball with Mr. Madigan over the years and kicking the can down the road. But we're at a fundamental time in our state where we have to ask ourselves some tough questions. Do we want to keep going the way we're going? Because if we do, it's unsustainable. Or do we want new leaders who are going to go in and clean house and fix problems in our state so that we can move forward and we have responsible government so that we do have a sustainable economy and we do have a government that works for the people going forward? That's really the fundamental question. I think that Mr. Madigan is a great person at dodging responsibility. You know, he is very powerful and obviously has too much power. And I think many people in my district agree. I've talked door to door with people. They feel that Mr. Madigan's power is just too much. It's so much that it really distorts our democratic process in Illinois. No man should ever have this much power to do these things and control other lawmakers like that. And that's part of the problem.
Have you spoken at all or met Mr. Madigan as a resident of this district and come into interaction with him at community groups or anything?
He doesn't show up at community groups. I have not met him. I have not seen him at community groups. I mean, I imagine he's been to some in the past, but no, I have not. And, you know, the other issue is there's a real lack of leadership in the 22nd District. It's now predominantly Latino, almost 71-72% Latino demographic. You know, a lot of the businesses are shuttering that have been here for years. There's a lack of development that needs to take place. There's a lot of things that Mr. Madigan could be doing for our district that he has chosen not to do because he's chosen to be the power broker in Springfield. He's never here. He's not present in the district. I mean, he owns a home, but no one ever sees him.
What are your plans? We'll go more statewide and kind of global, but let's begin the district. Tell me, how long have you lived there, what your community involvement is, and what you think needs to be done? How do you spur growth? What difference does it make that it's majority Latino now? Talk more about the local dynamics, if you would.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, my family has owned a home in the, you know, 2700 block of North Tripp for several years. You know, we sold it about 10 years ago. You know, I think that the district really deserves somebody who's much more representative of the demographics in the district and can provide the kind of leadership that the district needs, as well as representing it in Springfield on important matters that involve development, involve the budget, involve many things that pertain to state-funded services. I feel that, and many people feel that it's time for a change. You know, 45 years is a long time for someone to be in office. And, you know, if we look at what needs to be done here, you know, there's economic development in terms of, you know, vacant parcels on Cicero Avenue, on Pulaski Avenue. You know, we've got an exodus of jobs. You know, there's a real dearth of middle-class, good-paying jobs here. You know, one of the things I'd like to do is to build an advanced manufacturing cluster here around the airport. I'm a graduate of MIT. I advised the president of MIT. I, you know, worked on the advanced manufacturing partnership that President Obama commissioned and asked the president of MIT to chair. I've looked at ways that we can create the jobs of the future here in Illinois. And I believe that involves advanced manufacturing and precision manufacturing that will bring about a manufacturing renaissance, not only in our country, but could very well potentially be a game changer for my district and the state at large. So, you know, I'm thinking more forward than Mr. Madigan. Mr. Madigan, I believe, has failed the district in terms of leadership. You know, with all of this power that he has over other lawmakers and throughout the state, he's done very little to talk about policing in our district. He's done nothing that I know of to talk about criminal justice reform. Where has he been in terms of bringing jobs to the district, bringing and attracting employers? None of that is, you know, evident from Mr. Madigan's leadership. And those are holes that I intend to fill.
Just to be clear, you said that your family, what, you grew up where, or you sold a home? Can you clarify that? I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood.
Yeah,
that part.
No, so early on, you know, my grandmother was here in the adjacent district in 26th Street and Tripp, and I spent many of my early years in the area growing up and spending time with her and on 26th Street. And then my parents moved us to the suburbs, early on. And, I've had ties to the district with friends and other relatives that live here. And, you know, I live in the West Lawn neighborhood. So I've been here by, time the election comes, I will be here a few years.
And you own property or?
No, I don't own any property here. And the reason I chose not to own property is because Mr. Madigan tends to, zone people out. There was a challenger in 2012 named Michelle Pizer who actually ran, and she wanted to run again in 2014, but he actually had changed the zoning of the district so she couldn't run again. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't make that same mistake.
So how long have you been, had your eyes on a 2016 campaign then?
About 3 years.
That's a long time. What have you been doing there and trying to get ready for this undertaking?
Well, I've been meeting with community members. I've been doing a lot of listening. I've been, trying to, identify the leaders in the community that may be wanting change. In my opinion, many of them have been Madigan supporters in the past. But really, it's a lot of what I call sense making, understanding the needs of the district, understanding the needs of ordinary people that may not have a, voiced or have a voice in government. But really understanding what the unique needs of the district are and where people are at with what kind of leadership they want.
There's always suspicion of somebody coming in, and again, Madigan, just as you and I've talked about this whole time, powerful guy, who puts you up to this sort of thing? Is it yourself or who's behind you? Who's helped you to get your campaign off and running and funding it?
Well, as I made very clear that, some of the money I put in myself to get me started and get on the ballot. I'm thankful to have a very good attorney, but me, and supporters and friends that I've had throughout the years are getting involved in my campaign because, they know me and they know that, I have potential and that I'm a leader. So I will tell you right now, I'm not a plant by the GOP. I'm not a plant by Mr. Rauner. I'm not a plant by anyone. I've wanted to do this for quite some time. And a lot of politics is about timing. And I feel it's the right time. Not only is it the right time, it's my time to enter politics. And I feel that, it's a critical time for the state to have some new leadership and have people that are committed to solving problems in our state. And that's the kind of person I am.
Have you spoken at all with Governor Rauner or the folks from Illinois Go, any of those conversations? Maybe they didn't get you running, but now that you're going to presumably make it on the ballot.
I haven't spoken to Mr. Rauner, Governor. I have not spoken to anyone from Illinois Go. We have not received any calls from them. And they are not, from what I know, I don't know what they'll do in the future. I can't control that, obviously. But we're certainly not coordinating with them. And they're certainly not a part of this campaign. This is a true independent campaign. I'm a Democrat. I made that very clear. I made that clear to Matt Dietrich on the Reboot Illinois Post. I grew up in a family. My father was a union laborer for the IBEW, Electricians Union. I work in a labor union for the SEIU. I'm very much for the, workers' rights to collectively bargain. I believe that, passing right to work in our state would be a horrible thing. So I feel that our state suffers from a lack of leadership. And I think Mr. Madigan is a large part of the problem. And that's why I've decided to do this, because I believe that our state and our district deserve somebody much better.
Now, you're not alone in the race with Madigan, at least at this point. Can you tell me about some allegations that you've made about the other two candidates who filed a run in that primary and objections to their candidacy that you filed?
Well, sure. I'd be happy to recount the entire story. I headed down to the State Board of Elections on November 30th, and I waited until about the last 15 minutes of the filing period to go in and file my candidacy. At that point in time, there was no one else on the ballot. It was simply Mr. Madigan. I filed my candidacy. Mr. Shaw DeCremer, one of his assistants, saw me file and was watching me, and then grabbed a file box, a large banker's box, and walked out of the room, got on the telephone. When I finished filing, I saw him out there with some other assistants. They pulled two candidate petitions from the box. They began preparing them and sent two assistants in to file those candidates right behind me within minutes. And I watched the whole thing go down. I knew somebody, Mr. Madigan, was going to put somebody in to run against me. I mean, this is what he's done in the past. He did it to Michelle Pizer. He's done it to previous candidates. I mean, it's the oldest political trick in the book to try and take away votes from a candidate.
Have you ever met either of these two individuals? As you said, you're involved in the community. Are they? Do you know them at all? Or,
well, I think, it's not legit.
It's just not. Have you met him? Do you know them at all?
No, I don't know Shaw DeCremer. I mean, I met him.
No, the candidates, I mean.
Oh, the candidates. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't met them, but they're actually on my list of people to go and visit. Unfortunately, we can't. If you look online, there's nothing on them about them. I tried to find them. I have their addresses, but, they have no Facebook presence. They have no LinkedIn presence. They have no website. The question is, are they really legitimate candidates? In my opinion, they're probably legitimate people that legitimately are living at those addresses. Whether or not they are real candidates is extremely questionable. In my opinion, I don't believe so.
We've talked a lot about, in general, what you want for the district and what's going wrong with Illinois, but what would you do specifically? You've said right to work you don't think is the prescription. What about the issue of new revenue? Even Republicans have said that that's something that Illinois needs. And I'm not talking just a run-of-the-mill Republican, but the governor has been somewhat open about that. The Senate minority leader has said, yes, taxes are going to be a thing. What is your thought on that? How much does Illinois need to raise, and what would that new revenue package look like if you do believe that that's something that has to be done?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we've got a backlog of bills that we really need to start paying these businesses who have provided services to the state that aren't getting paid. And, you've got a ripple effect taking place there, whereas if these providers don't get paid, they're at risk of going out of business, laying people off. So I would say that it's very important that we think about where the revenue should come from. Unlike my opponent, I do not support going back to the temporary increase, of 5% for individuals in the income tax, because it asks working families and middle-class families to pay more when they're struggling. I do support raising taxes on those who are doing extremely well in our state without hurting employers of quality jobs. I think we need to look at new ways of finding revenue streams instead of always immediately deciding to increase taxes on working families. So
like what? Any ideas there? Because obviously, Illinois, we have to have a flat tax, and barring a constitutional amendment, which is something that Madigan supports in terms of this millionaire's tax. Does it need to be that, or what other revenue ideas do you have there?
Well, I think, my district has wanted, to explore the possibility of a casino out by Midway, something that would generate hundreds of millions of dollars a year and create jobs. It would be a huge economic development that my district could really utilize, and we have the space available for it. Right now, there's a casino in Des Plaines, and many there's there's few of them crossing the Indiana border, and we're losing a lot of people from Illinois, you know, because spending Illinois and money in Illinois, and we would be able to tax them, in order for them to gamble. So they're going across to Indiana in order to gamble, and we're losing out on a lot of that potential revenue. I also think we need to look at making strong investments in renewable energy. Stuff that's going to drive down electricity costs and, you know, help increase production of clean, affordable energy, in our state. I also think we need to look at areas where we're spending too much money. I mean, you know, we're spending $1 billion on a prison system that isn't working. I think we need to start thinking about other alternatives, especially for nonviolent offenders, that could save us a lot of money and also help to reduce this recidivism rate and cut down on mass incarceration. We've got a lot of nonviolent offenders behind bars and too many repeat offenders that need help. Treatment and mental health, stuff that has been proven to work much better than incarceration and cost less, are alternatives that we really need to explore.
So if you make it to the Illinois House and there have been some budget cuts, but Chicago gets a casino, that's still likely not enough to make do with the deficit, clear the bill backlog. There's a income tax hike vote. How do you go?
Well, I think, we got to look at what we're talking about in terms of an income tax vote. I mean, and how much are we talking about here? And is it a permanent thing? Is it scaled back? Is it temporary? What is the tax, income tax hike that we really need to get our budget straight and to get it balanced? I'm not totally against, a tax on services. I think that there's some, a fair amount of support for that. I know that the business community wouldn't necessarily be in line with that, but I think we can find a middle road here that puts a modest tax on services combined with these other things that I've just mentioned that could actually get us to where we need to be.
All right. Well, anything else that you want to add? I know we've kind of talked for a while. Sorry about that. When did you graduate from what? It was undergrad? What are the years you graduated?
So I graduated from Duke in 2000. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated from MIT in 2014. And then from Harvard in 2015.